Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Apostolic Bible Quizzing Podcast. We're excited to have a phenomenal quizzer, Caitlin Hill, joining us today. Caitlin, why don't you say hi to everybody real quick?
Hello.
And where are you from?
Magnolia, Arkansas.
Magnolia, Arkansas, and your pastor is Pastor Moats.
Yes, sir.
And he is an awesome, awesome man and a good friend of ours. So tell him I said hi.
And I will.
We want him to come visit us soon. But we're just going to kind of go through your history of quizzing and kind of your motivation. And maybe you can give some motivation to some other quizzers out there because you've been in this for a while. So why don't you kind of give us your, couple minutes on how long you've been involved and when you got involved and what caused you to be involved in the first place?
So I started quizzing in 2014. I was 8 years old. So this will be my 11th year, my final year, 2024. So it's been an experience for sure, but I had a lot of fun. So my family has a long history of Bible quizzing. My parents and grandparents both quizzed. My aunt and uncle. So my family had a long history. My cousin started quizzing like 2 years before I did, and I got to go to nationals and watch her. And so when I got a little older, I was like, wow, I really want to do that. And my parents were like, okay, we'll see where this goes. And so I started quizzing, and now both my siblings quiz.
That's awesome. So you said your parents were in quizzing.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Where did they quiz out of?
My mom was from Lake Charles, Louisiana. And my dad was from Waldo, I think.
That's incredible. Lake Charles. Yeah, that's a history of Bible quizzing from there for sure.
Yes, sir.
That is awesome. So yeah, my mom was in quizzing. My dad never was. My mom was actually in quizzing the first year quizzing ever started back in, I'm going to get it wrong, but late 50s, early 60s, something like that. She was in the
very first
year.
I think
that
was the same year my grandparents quiz, because I think they've talked to her about it before.
Oh, really?
I think.
Oh, my word. It's a small world. That is really cool. So yeah, it's great to hear that it's been generational from grandparent to parent to you and your siblings and cousins, I guess.
Yep.
That's really exciting. You said 11 years.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So Ben Copeland, we talked to on the last podcast, has been in quizzing for 13 years. And I thought that was going to be far and away the most years of people I've talked to in a while, but wow, 11 years, that is quite a length of time. So once you started, did you ever miss a year?
No, sir. I stayed with it, even though I didn't hit the buzzer at all some years, but I stayed with it.
That is so neat. So how, you said you were how old when you first joined?
8 years
old. And what was your motivation? Now, what reason I'm asking, no, you tell me your motivation, then I'll tell you why I'm asking.
So my cousin was involved and I was like, this looks cool. And at the time, I had been through some big transitions in my life. And so I was excited to get something where I could find new friends, meet new people, because that was something I was needing at the season of my life. And so that's what got me called. I was like, let's go do this. We can meet new people and get to go places that I hadn't necessarily maybe been before, but it was mainly the people.
That's great motivation is you get to know new people and you get to join something. There is that, I mentioned this on our first podcast, but that for me, it was so pitiful, but it was that fear of missing out on something really neat that my brothers got to go on. And I was the one that I was too cool to join quizzing that year. And so I broke and I just had to join. So now you said it looked cool. So to an 8 year old, what does that look like? And this is why I'm asking is we know the ultimate motivation for quizzing.
Yes.
Once we're older, you're in your last year of quizzing, you see it clearly. Oh, wow. Yeah. There is a much higher, much deeper motivation for getting kids involved, learning the word of God. But as an 8 year old, it's difficult to transmit that concept to someone that young. So what intrigued an 8 year old besides, seeing your friends and stuff, was there anything in particular that maybe another coach could use to interest a new 8 year old into quizzing?
Well, I think one thing was definitely the trophies, having that goal of being able to have something for yourself, of being accomplished and winning something. And also just it was a whole new environment that I'd never seen before. And so it was something new. So I was like, I want to try this new thing. I was kind of adventurous, I guess.
Yeah. So you say you saw the trophies. How did you come about that? Was it like people bringing them home and being presented in front of the church? Or did you go to the tournaments and watch it before you joined?
I had went to a couple national tournaments to watch my cousin, like I said. And so they would have the award ceremony. And so you would see all the little kids my age getting trophies. And I was like, wow, I wish I was one of them.
That's cool. And we say this every podcast, but if you're a coach out there and you're thinking, man, I just wish kids would join it for the right motivation. I do too. It would be great just to tell kids, hey, you need to learn the word of God because it's the right thing to do. And just know that they're going to do it. Well, that's unfortunately not the reality. You do have to sometimes give a different carrot on the stick, at least initially, until the kids get into the culture of it and realize, you know, this is more than a game thing. I think it was Ben, last year, or no, I think it was my brother. He said, it's actually okay to start quizzing with the wrong motivation.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, because I've learned the real motive over time. It just took a little bit.
Absolutely. When I first joined, I was probably around 8 or 9 years old as well. And I can tell you the last thing on my mind was eternal values. Not the last thing. I mean, obviously, you know, I was in church, raised in church, and that was what our family did. You know, we loved church and everything about it.
Yeah.
But that's not why I joined. I joined it for the trophies, for the friends, for the fun, for the trip. So if you're a coach out there, it's okay. Make it appealing, make it fun, make it a blast, especially at the beginning of the year to attract some attention. Because sometimes a new quizzer may just need a little taste. Just to try it out to see if this is something they're going to enjoy. And sometimes just getting to that first tournament, if you can just get them to the first tournament, that might be the trigger that gets them into a career of quizzing for the rest of their life. And here you might be Caitlin 11 years later, you're still quizzing. That's fabulous. So you are how old now?
I'm 18.
18. So I'm assuming, and I did not ask you this before, but I'm assuming as an apostolic young person who's heavily involved in quizzing, you probably have other things on your plate besides just Bible quizzing.
Yes, sir.
So what are some other things besides quizzing that you're involved in, both personal, if you're okay sharing those, and throughout the church and whatever else?
So I am a full-time student at a local university in my hometown. And then, so that's my full-time job, I guess, right now. And then I'm also involved in almost everything at my church. I'm in music ministry, Sunday school, take part in youth events, outreach, and then I also volunteer at our church school.
Okay, let's unpack that a little bit, because that was a lot. So you said, first of all, you're a full-time college student.
Yes, sir.
So do you mind me prying a little bit and ask how many units you're taking?
Right now, I'm taking 17 hours.
Okay, so you're taking 17 hours?
Yes.
Of college. You're also involved in music. What does that involve at your church?
Usually 1 to 2 services a week, I'll play an instrument.
Okay. What do you play?
The piano.
Oh, fabulous. So you play music for worship at your church, at least 2 services a week, full-time college student taking 17 units. You're involved in Sunday school. So
yes.
What do you do in that department?
So we rotate monthly. So about like 3 months out of the year, I would be on Sunday school, leading.
So that's more than just showing up at the start.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Also prep and planning during the week and all the other stuff that goes into that. So I can imagine that being several hours a week during those months that you're on.
Yes, sir.
You say youth ministry. Do you just like attend those events? Or are you part of the planning or how?
Some of both.
Okay.
Mostly I attend, but sometimes like our youth group will plan parties or get-togethers or whatever. So I help with that.
Okay. So I can imagine that takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You said outreach. What kind of outreach stuff are you involved in?
We go to local neighborhoods and like apartments.
So door to door?
Yes, sir.
Fabulous. And that's a Saturday or do you do it throughout the week?
Just Saturdays.
Okay. And you say you volunteer at your church school. What does that look like?
I'm usually there about an hour a day, Monday through Friday.
Okay. So if you are a Bible quizzer, the biggest excuse I hear from every Bible quizzer in the world just about is that I don't have time. That's what I hear all the time from myself when I was a quizzer. That was an excuse I tried to give. My kids, I'll hear it from them, from my own kids, from our Bible quizzers, from our local church, nationwide, why kids drop out. The number one reason is I didn't have
time.
Yeah. So let's go back to Caitlin. Full-time college student, music at a church, works in Sunday school, helps in the youth department, on outreach weekly, and volunteers at least an hour a day in her church school. And she still is able to fit in not just participating in Bible quizzing, but being an exceptional Bible quizzer. Now, Caitlin, I am your own sense of humbleness is probably not going to let you agree with me, but you are a fabulous Bible quizzer. You are, have just proven that year after year. And so you're not just sneaking by. You're not just kind of quizzing. You're really doing it. So, and again, I'm going to ask you some questions here that is probably not fair because we didn't talk about this, but how much time, and I know it's different throughout the year, but leading up to nationals, say in the month leading up to nationals, how much time per day do you spend in studying for quizzing?
Well, the month before nationals, I'm not in school. So that makes it a little bit easier having that summer break to where I can actually focus a lot more time to it. It's a good amount of time. I don't know an exact number, but I spend a good amount of my day since I'm not in school. I try to devote extra time to quizzing up before nationals.
I'm not going to pin you down, but I am going to try to round this a little bit. Are we talking an hour or closer to 4 or 5 hours? Like, I'm trying to just help people.
Probably I would say around 4.
Okay. So around 4 hours. Now that's in the summer leading up to nationals.
Yeah.
And that's when you don't have school, but you could have school. So I'm assuming then that you do that purposely to give yourself time.
Yes.
And I think that's something a lot of quizzers don't think about is they don't schedule their lives around quizzing enough.
Yeah.
They almost get surprised by, oh my goodness, you know, we have this thing coming up. You're like, we have Christmas coming up. I don't have time to study for the whole month of December. And it's like, this is not an unusual event.
Yeah.
This is something we all know is coming. And so therefore you build it in. So I know quizzers that look ahead in their schedule at, these are some big events in my life where I'm going to have some very little time. Maybe it's finals. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's your midterms, all of these big events throughout the year. If you're careful about it, you can schedule around there where you're ramping up your study. And so the week of finals, you can coast. You can concentrate just on those and maybe just do minor review, just at least not where you're at least plateauing. You're not losing what you built up. So is that something you do at all?
Yeah. So I try to study as much as I can while I'm in school, but I really like to focus on the breaks where I'm off. So if I can at least try to at least stay steady and grow some, but like we get a weekend off for fall break, and then we get like Thanksgiving, and then I'm in college now, so I get like 6 weeks between fall semester and spring semester. So I plan to use that time to really focus on my material so I can get ahead before I have to start my next semester.
Oh my goodness, that is so good. So quizzers out there, this is, let's see, we're recording this on December 1st. There's still time. Sit down, get out your calendar, maybe talk to your mom and dad, talk to your coach, talk to whoever you have to, and just look at big events that are going to come up this year and plan around them. We're not telling you not to have a life. We're not telling you not to be a part of your youth group and do fun events and go to, you know, these special, neat things. Not at all. But at least know they're coming and prepare for them and work your schedule where you can still learn. And like you said, you can do the bulk of your memorization during those off periods. That's really good. That's fabulous. Anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
One other thing I like to try to do, and this might seem crazy, but this is how I think of it. So I look at my week on Sunday and I try to like plan out my goals for the week, especially. And like, I make a list of everything I have to do for school, but like also the verses I'm going to try to learn. Doesn't always happen, but I do my best. And then I block off time in my mind, I guess you would say. So Sunday, I think of as church day because usually we have Sunday morning service, music practice, and Sunday night service. So there's not a lot of time on that day. But Monday through Friday, I try to, the morning and afternoons are usually school or I'm volunteering at our school or whatever. So that's pretty taken. But in the evenings, I try to find some time to do some quizzing. And then on Saturdays, my goal is to make up anything I didn't get done during the week.
That is so good. So you have you've adjusted your schedule per day, because every day is different, especially as apostolics. We know, like you said, Sunday is a busy day.
Yeah.
It's a busy day. So if you plan on a 2 or 3 hour session on Sunday, that's probably not going to happen.
No.
So you need to schedule it out. And whenever your midweek service is, we know, okay, I'm going to have less time that evening. So I need to adjust. I need to adjust. That is really good. Do you put that on paper, or is it just a mental thing?
Sometimes I'll write down like my goals, but usually I don't write down each day. Just what I think about and how I plan in my mind, I guess.
Would that be helpful, you think, for maybe ones that are younger? And maybe not where they could do that on their own, maybe for a parent to help their child or a coach to help younger quizzers?
I think so. I always find satisfaction of marking stuff off my to-do list, or maybe letting the kids color in a box when they learn a verse or a review so they can get like a full paper at the end of the week. I'd be happy about that.
That is a thing. You know, there's a psychology to crossing something off a list. It really does give you a sense of accomplishment. So that's great. That's a good point. Last thing on that topic is I have noticed that the best quizzers, like if we went across the nation and handpicked, these quizzers are exceptional in all divisions. I'd be willing to bet that those same quizzers are also the most busy quizzers, or excuse me, the most busy people in their church. It's usually a thing. The quizzers that don't have time, I'm saying that with air quotes, are the ones that generally are the least busy. And it's a human nature thing. I've heard it said many times that if you want something done, you give it to someone that's busy, because they're the typically the most likely to get it done. So what I'm saying with all that, quizzers, is there is a way to be not only a good quizzer, but also effective in all the other areas of your life, to be used both in your local church and to have really good grades and go to college and have good grades there. You can do it. It's, I'm not going to say it's easy, but you do have to plan for it and you have to schedule it out. So that's really good. So you've been involved for 11 years. I'm sure there were years that you didn't want to be in quizzing. At least I'm assuming, based on my personal experience, that there's probably some years that you were more excited than others. So for 11 years straight, you didn't miss any. What was your motivation or reasons for staying involved for so long, such a consistent time period?
Definitely my parents, especially when I was younger. My mom didn't quiz 1 year, and she still regrets that year. So my parents are always like, don't miss it. You're so going to regret it the older you get. So they always pushed me to stay involved and made sure I was on schedule. As I got older, though, I kept myself, and I realized some of the benefits myself, if you don't mind me explaining some of those.
No, I'd love to hear it.
So I started out wanting to do it for the friends that I met and getting to go places. It was something new. And then I got older and I realized the spiritual value. So like in life lessons, so things like good sportsmanship, you learn to smile if you win or lose, you want your friends to do good even though you want to win. And so if you don't win, you're still going to support them and cheer them on. And I also realized, especially recently being in college, that memorizing verses has helped me study for my test. It doesn't take, I don't think, near as much time to study. And it's a whole lot easier from my perspective, to remember the stuff than if I hadn't quizzed and hadn't had any experience trying to memorize that kind of stuff. One other thing that I noticed recently being at college is I'm confident in what I believe. I think probably more than I would be if I hadn't quizzed. Because when people ask me questions, I have the Word of God ready with me. I don't have to go look it up. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just, if you already have it with you, I feel like you can be more confident and ready to give an answer to whatever they might ask you.
That is so good. I love that. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you. Man,
yes, sir.
That's a Pentecostal doctrine verse that I won't forget anytime soon.
That one stuck with me too.
Yeah. It's amazing how they always show up when you need them.
Yes.
So you quizzed Pentecostal doctrine. Have you done it more than once?
No, I wanted to, but it only came up one time.
Okay. It's funny. It's on a weird pattern. So I actually had it twice during my quizzing, but a lot of people haven't. It's just strange, and they've been in quizzing longer than I have, so it's just unusual. Yeah. So let's see. A couple of other questions is quizzing has incredible eternal value, but it's just a lot of fun. There are so many memories. There are so many silly times. Some of them are so goofy that they don't mean anything to anybody but us. But yeah. they're just good times. So, do you mind sharing a few of those stories? What are some things that stand out when you think fun times with quizzing?
Definitely getting to hang out with friends each month. You look forward to that. It's relaxing. Like, it's stressful and relaxing all at the same time. It won't make any sense till you get there and do it. But nationals, like the nights before nationals, we'd always stay up and in the lobby playing games and just hanging out with friends you might only see once or twice a year. One crazy story. It's not really important, but I just think it's kind of cool. So me and my teammate Elise had been at a conference Thursday and Friday, and we had to be at a tournament 8 o'clock Saturday morning. And we only got like 2 or 3 hours of sleep Friday night. And we had a 2-hour drive Saturday to get to the 8 o'clock tournament. So our parents weren't the happiest about it, but we really wanted to go to the conference. So they let us go. And somehow we managed to win the tournament, and we both were on the all-tournament team. So from then on, we told our coaches we didn't really need to sleep at the tournaments.
Wow. So 2 hours sleep and you guys took the tournament. So obviously that's your game plan for the rest of the year, right? We're just not going to sleep before a tournament, because obviously that's
that worked.
Setting the stage, yeah, for success. That's funny. Any other funny, goofy stories that jump out? And you know, there may not be.
I can't think of any.
No problem. So if you had to tell a fellow quizzer, or not a fellow quizzer, someone that's not in quizzing, if there was a message that you could somehow get through to every young person, every apostolic young person that wants to be used in ministry later on, something, what would you tell them to someone that doesn't get Bible quizzing?
I would say give it a try, even if you don't understand the reason behind it. And I'm going to go off right here. I'm going to bring it back to this, but even if you don't have anyone from your age, even if you don't have anyone your age quizzing from your local church, go ahead and find someone, like contact the directors. They can connect you with someone. Since my first year, I haven't quizzed with anyone from my church on my team until this year. My sister's going to quiz with me. She's moving up to experience. But up until this point, I've quizzed with a couple different teammates, and then me and Elise got together and we've been together. But even if you don't have anyone, you can find someone in. There's so many eternal values that you might not see it, but like especially if you're younger, the older you get, it's just fun. Like you'll meet friends, you'll meet new role models that, you know, you wouldn't expect it, but that you see them and you're like, wow, that person's amazing. And I know learning 400 verses or 200, 100 for the different divisions and having to remember those under stress at the quiz board, it seems intimidating and crazy. But the more you learn, me and my sister have talked about this, by the end of the year, you don't really think about you've learned 400 verses. It doesn't seem like anywhere near that number. So go ahead and try it. Even if you don't finish learning them, even if you don't get a trophy, you'll be surprised by the friends you'll meet and the impact it'll have in your life spiritually.
That is so good. I love that you brought up about joining. I'm so sorry. Was it Elise? Is that her name? I know her face very well. So where is she from?
She from all over, but currently they're in Gina, Louisiana.
Gina, Louisiana.
Well, they have traveled a lot.
Got it. So I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, they think that if they don't have a team that they can field from their church, they can't join Bible quizzing. So I'm really glad you mentioned that, because you guys have proven that you can have a solid team and somehow still have team chemistry and team success without someone that you don't necessarily see in person that often.
Yes.
So the rule is that you can join another church. So preferably within your same region, if possible. The regions are kind of split up in the United States, but there are exceptions to even that rule. Like if you, we've had someone that like their cousin was in another region and they wanted to quiz with them because neither church had someone else they could quiz with. So yeah, we're going to make allowances for things like that. Just contact your regional coordinator and we're going to work through those things. But we want you to quiz. So we're gonna do whatever we have to do to get you a teammate. Even if you don't know anybody, you can contact your regional coordinator and you can say, hey, I would love to quiz, but I don't have anyone my age. I promise you, we'll find someone for you to quiz with. So our local church with Rialto, we have several teams throughout the years that have joined us. Like they have a one-off quizzer that doesn't have anybody to quiz with, and we'll, you know, pair them up with us. And it's a neat deal. So I'm glad you brought that up. Don't use that as an excuse not to quiz.
Yes, sir.
Not you. You've already got that.
But I definitely agree.
And so how often did you guys get together?
It was very sporadic. We tried. We could meet like maybe an hour and a half away from both of us. When we were in intermediates, we would meet like every other month. But like as we got older, it became more harder because we had different responsibilities and commitments. So sometimes, I mean, we would only meet like once or twice outside the tournaments and just do what we could at home.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So you only saw your teammate in person every other month and sometimes even longer than that, and you guys still had success. So what did you guys do? Did you have any communication as far as FaceTime practices, anything like that?
We actually didn't. No, it might would have helped us, but we didn't. We would each have quiz practice at home. Like we would do what we could at home. We would text and make sure, hey, are you on track? And see you, whatever. If we could, sometimes we would try to go over a quiz at the tournaments once we got to the tournament. But usually we would somehow always be the first quiz and it didn't work. But so we just did what we could at home. And then when we got up to the quiz board, we were like, we'll see where this goes.
Wow, that is definitely challenging. I've never had to do that myself, but my brother has, my older brother, before we were old enough to join him in the senior division. He quizzed with people from other churches because we were originally from a church called Arroyo Grande, and we didn't have anybody else. It was just us three boys. And so me and my younger brother were, you know, under 11 and under. My older brother was was in senior. So it was neat when we finally all got to quiz together. And apparently you guys get that experience this year. So
yes,
that's
sir.
Really exciting. So her first year in seniors and your last year in seniors coincide?
She actually moved up early to experience. She's been an intermediate and she wanted to move up for my last year.
It. I got it. So how old is she?
She's 14.
14. And okay. Wow. That's fabulous. That's really exciting. I have a quite a range of ages for my own kids. So I have, you know, a 22-year-old, a 16, 14, and now, God help me, a 2-year-old. So we expect junior or beginner and junior quizzing on the horizon while we still have some senior quizzing going on. So that is going to be interesting to say the
yes.
least. So. How about existing quizzers? If there's quizzers that are on the fence, should I quiz? Should I not quiz? Or I'm in the middle of the year. It's just got too hard. I'm too far behind. I don't know my verses well enough. What would you tell them to give them that kick to get them over the hump and say, hey, you need to quiz?
Definitely don't give up if you get behind or if your study schedule doesn't look like what you wanted it to look like. Just learn to adapt. You might not can study every day or whatever, and you might have to wait and catch up or whatever. Just don't give up because God will reward, I believe, any effort you put into studying his word. He's faithful. And so the spiritual implications are so important. And there's friends. I think it's just really important just to, even if you get behind, stay focused on why you do it.
Yeah. How we have a lot of, almost everybody that we've talked to on the podcast always brings up friendships that they've developed through quizzing. I don't know what it is about quizzing. It's like being in war together, right? You develop these deep bonds with people that you, under normal situations, you may not have that connection with.
Yeah.
But my younger brother said it, that we may not see people for 10 years, but the second we see them, the bond is back. It's like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I haven't seen you this long. And instantly it's right back in the trenches. We're talking memories and fun times at tournaments and all that. So I don't even know where I was going with that, except to say it is so true. It's, you just develop friendships in quizzing that it's very difficult to create those type of deep lasting friendships in very many other ministries, very many other ways.
I think it's amazing that, you know, I'm from Little Magnolia. It's a very small town, and somehow I have friends, not somehow, but through Bible quizzing, I have friends from all over the United States.
Yeah. I remember when I was a young person, I was probably, you know, 12, 13 years old. And I had some of my fellow friends in the youth group, and many of them had never, ever left the state. Now, California is a little bit different than back east. You know, they're not quite as consolidated. So sometimes you can go to lunch and step over a state line when you're back east. But where we're at, a lot of my friends had never left the state. Never. They had never gotten an airplane. They had never traveled much at all outside. And I was trying to figure it out, like, why? What's wrong? And I realized they're not in quizzing. It's just part of the culture of quizzing is we travel, and we travel a lot.
And that adds fun.
You
can find different things to do wherever you visit. Say you've been to new places.
You know, that's a good point. It's funny because coaches dread the drives. Oh no, we got an 8-hour drive. The kids are like, "Woo, this is great."
Yeah.
We get to drive 8 hours. This is awesome. Yeah, so it's just a different mentality, but that's very true. So as a quizzer, we traveled so much. We drove all over the state, and then for nationals, you know, we flew all over the country. And a lot of our friends that weren't in quizzing didn't understand it. We're like, man, you guys are missing out on a big chunk of life just by not being in quizzing. So if you want to travel, have fun, you need to get in quizzing. Let's see here. I didn't talk to you about this ahead of time, but is there a particular learning technique that you might have implemented that worked for you? I know every quizzer is different, but I know maybe it evolved over time, but is there anything you could help other quizzers with?
So my process definitely evolved. It looks a whole lot different now than it did when I was younger. When I started out, we started with the 15 time method or whatever. And then I realized that, so normally you would say a phrase and then say the next phrase and then put them together and say it 15 times. But as I got older, I realized that for me, it was easier if I said one phrase 15 times and then just added the next phrase and read all of that a couple times and then said that 15 times instead of saying them separately. For me, that made more sense. So I did that for a while. And now it's pretty much, I don't say it all 15 times. You say it till you get it down. I can tell when I got it, when I have it down, you know, I can move on. But one of the hardest things, so I'm actually doing the Acts this year for my last year, and I've done it before in juniors. So I don't know all the verses, but I remember some of them. So it's been interesting trying to, like, I'll read it and know the verse, but trying to remember the reference back with it. So sometimes, you know, they get a little confused in my mind. So this year it's been different because I've just been trying to put the verses with some of them and then totally learn some of the other ones.
You know, that's a great thing to dig into real quick. References. So if you're a new quizzer and you are joining Bible quizzing, it's a exciting thing that you memorize the verse. But sometimes we don't take the necessary time to link the reference or, you know, the Acts chapter 1, verse 4 with the verse itself. And it's absolutely essential. You don't even know the verse. And in fact, for me, it's like you forgot half the verse by forgetting the reference.
Yeah. 'Cause
it's that important. You need it on every question you answer almost. So you're going through Acts now. You see
a
verse that you recognize, but you don't have the reference tied to it. What do you do to connect those pieces in your brain? Is there anything you could share?
So starting from scratch, I'll say the reference and the verse back to back. Because for me, if I say it out loud and I hear stuff, I remember it better. So
that's so good. Say that again. Say it out loud. I tell my kids that all the time. They're over there like mouthing it. I'm like, say the words.
Yeah.
There's something powerful about letting the words come out of your mouth and hearing them.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. That made me very happy.
So saying it out loud. And then sometimes I'll find random tricks. I look at stuff weirdly. So I'll give you an example of one of these tricks. This is just one that's off the top of my head. But Acts 2:44 says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Well, in my mind, 4 and 4 are the same. They're in common. So The believers had all in common. I put random stuff like that together to make me, and especially in Acts, it's a storyline. So it's easier to follow. So if I know this verse is about this, I can kind of guess what the next couple verses are about.
That is so good. Yes. So locking a verse, and I'll do that with my kids. I think I have a similar weird brain in certain stuff like that. So like my kids, Proverbs, whatever. And they're like, start me. I'm like, come on, you're supposed to know this by now. So once we figure out what verse it is, we'll figure out, like you said, a trick for us to link that verse with the reference. And I love what you said. They're common, 44 common. And I'll do stuff like that with my kids all the time. And once you link a verse, it's not like you have to do that with 400 verses, right?
No.
It's the ones that stand out, the problem verses. And it's amazing how you like kind of put an anchor. I don't know how else to say it in the middle of the chapter. Okay. I got that one locked down. I got Acts chapter 2 verse 44. By default, I know the one before and after, cause I can kind of say it's the one after common. It's the one before common.
Yeah.
And you just do those kind of throughout the chapter, and it's amazing how pretty soon you have the whole thing mapped out.
I think it's kind of crazy too, how sometimes you'll learn a verse and you'll just know that you know that verse. Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Just when you learned it, somehow it connected. And so then I usually base everything else I learn around that one. So I know that one, what comes next. Somehow that one just sticks with me better than the rest do. I don't know.
No, that's really good. What are some other techniques that maybe they didn't work great for you, but they work for other people that you've heard about? Songs or writing it down or stuff like that. Are there any other techniques that you've tried?
I didn't try a lot. I know that for my siblings, though, they enjoy singing the songs, especially little kids. I never heard about the songs when I was like in beginners or juniors, so I'm sure I would have loved them. But like even I would hear my sister learning some of the songs, or my brother, and those stuck with me. Like my sister learned Acts 1:1, and I can still hear that song, even though I never learned it. She just sang it all the time, and it got stuck in my head. And also the coloring sheets for kids. Older kids too, if they don't have all the verses, but you could do the ones, if you're a visual learner, that would for sure help, because they like put pictures with each phrase. And so as you're learning, you can see those pictures when you quote the verse in your head. And so I think it kind of helps you remember what comes next.
Yeah, that's really powerful to realize that everybody does learn differently. We do this in Sunday school a lot, right? You have visual learners, you have people that can learn by doing it themselves, you know, like they have to be active with their own bodies. So you have to realize that all of that is true for quizzers too. You know, some people writing it down, just the act of writing it makes a big difference.
One more method that I just thought about that was using action. My brother, he's 9. So last year when he started quizzing, he would, once a couple of times when he learned a verse, we would throw a ball back and forth. And so I would say it, he would say it, and we would keep repeating it. And that movement helped keep him busy, because he's a boy. He likes to be active. And so if you can keep him moving like that, sometimes they'll focus better and then it sticks in their mind.
That's really good. Yeah. Just find what works for you. Because we are not all the same. For me, I don't know what it is. And we didn't have the songs when I was young either, but we made up a lot of them. And those are the verses I remember crystal clear 30 years later. I mean, yeah. I can sing every song that we learned or that we made up when we were a kid.
That's crazy.
It's astonishing. It really is. So find what works for you. And I wouldn't have done that for 400 verses, but like I said, it set an anchor in that chapter. Now I got a song for, I'm just going to say Acts 2:44, and now I know verses before and after. So I got verses from Luke. I got verses from Mark. I got verses from all these different growing up that if I hear that, boom, that song pops in my head and I can start singing it. It's crazy. Our brains are weird, aren't they?
Yes, for sure.
So practices. You said that you had split practices from your teammate. Did you ever practice with the juniors or beginners or your sister or any of them, even though they weren't in your division?
Not for my practice. I would sometimes help my siblings by quizzing against them on their level, but just to help it was basically to help them figure out where they needed hit, not really for me. Personally, I thought it would be a little confusing to try to go back and forth between the questions. And sometimes the verses, like the juniors would learn past our material or before our material. And so it was different verses, like not all the way, but somewhat different verses. So I felt like that was a little confusion. So usually I just practice by myself.
Can you help other churches that might have a single quizzer in a division on how you guys did a practice? What's an effective way of practicing a solo quizzer?
Usually we would just go through the whole quiz and just, I'm very like self-motivated. So I would always try to push myself past what I thought I was able. So like that was for me. No, like some people might not be like that. So you might have to push quizzers to do more than where they're at right now. But for me, I mean, we would start at question one and just go all the way through. I would answer them like it was a real quiz. Maybe not always the exact time limits because we were at home, so it wasn't always formal. Sure. But I would use a buzzer. We'd start at question one and just go through the quiz and interrupt, finish it, answer it, and see what I needed to adjust to get the question right, if I didn't get it right or whatever, see what I could learn.
Sure. And would you do that once a week? Was it practiced like on the buzzer once a week?
Yes. That's what we would try to do.
Okay. And what does your review look like? So once you've learned the verses, what does your everyday review look like?
I try to, personally for me, so I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but
no, go ahead.
I don't really struggle with remembering my verses most of the time. And I know that there are people that struggle with that. So I don't want to like minimize that.
I'm one of those.
Everyone's different. So for me, I, alternate quoting and referencing or whatever. But I don't like, if I miss a day or whatever, I'm not gonna just lose everything. And I know there are some people like that because I've met them and talked to them. So I don't want to minimize that. But personally, I will quote, and then I'll like try to alternate that with referencing to make sure I keep or verse beginnings, whatever you want to call it, to make sure I keep my references down.
Okay. What about charting? When do you start incorporating that into your learning?
So it looks different every year. Before I got in like my upper grades in high school and my life got a little bit more chaotic, I would start learning almost as soon as I started learning verses, like probably December. I would just learn as I learned my material, make sure I kept it all down. The older that I've got, sometimes it doesn't always work like that. So I'll learn it and I'll try to keep reviewing it, like whatever I'm able to learn. I don't want to lose that because I might not lose my verses, but it's easier for me to lose my charts. So sure. I want to make sure I review that often and keep that down. And I add as much as I can whenever I can get fitted into my schedule and just keep it down. And like I said, the month before nationals is a great time to catch up on anything you missed and make sure you know that you know that you know it.
Absolutely. So for those that don't know what charting is, we're just assuming at this point when we speak of charting that you already can quote the verses. And all new quizzers, all new coaches out there, if you hear the word charting, but your quizzers or yourself, you can't quote the verse, forget the word charting exists. That is the last thing you should be worrying about until you can quote it, your verse 100%. And with fairly quick recall. So when they give you the reference, you should be able to pull it up and quote it perfectly. So until you get to that point, forget the word charting. But once you do, it'll take you to a new level in quizzing. Yes. And Caitlin, I want to run something by you. I'm just curious because we haven't talked about this a whole lot with very many people. But first of all, let's explain what charting is. So charting is breaking down the verses now into kind of the keywords, and you're finding connections between verses, maybe similar phrases between verses, words that are mentioned twice throughout the entirety of the material, three times, four times, five times, people that are named, parts of the body, geographical locations, that sort of thing. So those are charting, where you're pulling pieces that are unique to verses and maybe connecting with another, like quote the two verses of our study that mention, you know, Jerusalem or something like that. Okay. But where I was leading up to with that first statement was, it's amazing when you start learning charting, how it just seems to anchor the material on a new level. So you may be able to quote your verses, but when you start learning your charting, it, I don't know if it's just a confidence thing, but it feels like I can answer every type of question better. Yes. When I knew my charting. I don't know if that's true or not. What do you, is that just a me in my weird brain thing?
I felt like it for sure gives you a confidence that, yeah, they might throw something off the wall, but I know that I did everything I could to get ready for this. I know that sometimes it'll help, like if it's not the way you're supposed to work, but let's say you forget a verse or whatever, you can, you see that reference, you know, oh, it has this word in it, or it starts this way, it has this phrase, this place. Sometimes it can help you remember a verse, especially like when you're under stress at the quiz board and, you know, maybe you just, the reference slipped your mind or whatever, and you quoted the verse and it has that one word and you know that's a one-time word. You can remember the reference or whatever.
You know, that's a good point too. It seems like as the years progress, that the questions are slowly, it seems, especially in the 10 pointers, they're kind of getting rid of the reference a little bit more and more.
Yeah.
So it's more like a, who did this and leaving off the reference, or what happened, or, you know, they're asking questions and the reference is left out. So for that, you're counting on the keywords in the question to match up with some verse in your study. So the charting there, I can see being a big benefit, by, like you said, if maybe it's a 3 or 4 time word and it's in the question and you know, ah, it's, you've already narrowed it down from the entirety of my material. Now it's down into the scope of these two or three verses. So
yeah,
that's very good. And, let's see, I think we're about wrapping up. Is there anything else that you would want to communicate to new quizzers, new coaches that are quizzers that are on the fence, anything like that, that you want to just get out into the open?
Even this is just something random that came to my mind for the coaches, especially with the little kids, you know, even sometimes, you know, you think this is useless. Like they'll quote it one day and then they'll be off somewhere the next day and won't stay on track. And, you know, I know that my brother, he was riding in my car the other day and just randomly quoted a verse from last year. I don't know where it came from, but he just randomly started quoting. So it got somewhere beyond just his short-term memory. I think anyway, if he can randomly quote it like 6 months later. But sometimes, you know, you might take these quizzes to the tournaments and they might not hit the buzzer at all, even though, you know, they know their material. Maybe they even know their charts, because I was like this in juniors. I felt like my team didn't need me. They did need me, but I was like, oh, I can just sit up here and they don't need me, whatever. So even if the kids aren't hitting or whatever, that's time that you're investing in them that they won't forget that you invested it. But that's also the word of God that's in their heart that they'll never be able to get away from. So even if it seems useless, keep on going, coaches.
That's so good. I hear the term every now and then about, I'm not a Bible quizzer, I'm a Bible quitter, because I quit, you know, halfway through the year I gave up. I just want to just drive this home. Get started with Bible quizzing. And if for some reason, God forbid, you don't make it to the end of the year, you did not fail. You learned probably in that time more verses than most adults that are in church will ever learn the entirety of their life.
Yeah.
So it's better to have learned 50 verses before you bow out than to learn zero. Just join quizzing and figure it out on the fly. And I'm not encouraging quitting at all. I want you to make it to the end. I want to see you at nationals. But if you start and quit, that's better than not starting at all.
So. And I think it gets easier the more you do it. So maybe you only learn 50 the first year, but try to come back and try it again later, because sometimes you'll be able to do more because you've built it up.
Absolutely. And we've said this every podcast so far, but there is a skill that is developed through quizzing of learning verses. So if you're struggling learning verses your second year, it's much easier. 11 years in, like Caitlin is, she could probably just look at a verse a few times. And she's probably not going to rub it into a first time quizzer, but she could probably learn it in a tenth of the time that it takes someone in their first year. It's just part of the process. So it's a skill that she's developed over many years of quizzing, but it's a thing that she is now using in college and all the other ministries of the church. And it's fabulous to see what God's doing in your life, Caitlin. It's exciting.
Thank you.
So we're gonna close up, but I do want to recount one more time. You're a full time student. You're involved in Sunday school, you're involved in outreach, you're involved in youth ministry, you're involved in music. And did I miss something?
Church school.
And volunteering at the church school. And you're also a phenomenal Bible quizzer. if she can do it, you have no excuse, people. So you do have time. I had a regional coordinator that took the time for every quizzer that said they didn't have time, and he would break our day down. 24 hours in a day, how many hours do you sleep? How many hours? And he would break it down until we realized that I do have time. It's just something I have to maybe take from an hour of just sitting and reading a book or playing a video game or whatever, but I need to redirect it to quizzing. So if you want to do it bad enough, I promise you there's enough time in the day. So thank you for joining us, Caitlin. This has been a great time. I'm excited to see you guys at Nationals. And are you quizzing with Elise again, or is it just your sister this year?
Elise and my sister will both be quizzing with me.
Fabulous. That's going to be exciting. All right. Well, we will see you all later. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless. Bye.